good to be here. It's good to be here. Feel the presence of the Lord, enthusiasm for the Lord. And I think we're having a little problem this morning with the fumes. I'd ask them to go ahead and paint these floors up here before we put a covering over. We're getting a little farther along with this part of the building and created a little fumes, and I think they had a little differences as to open the doors to give us some heat or what to do. I personally, most of the fumes is in this area. I personally think they could have opened maybe the door back there and give you some heat up here. I don't think it would have any problem opening these doors. I'm the one up here where the fumes would have ordinarily been. They should have opened these doors because I'm comfortable up here. I move around and I don't need that much heat, but you do need heat for the babies. And it's better to run the heaters even if you have to open the doors. And that way you keep the chill off. You might not get it warm, but it's better. So it's going to make it a little rough this morning, and when we go to preach and you go to run the heaters, because that way it automatically messes up the radio programs. We're trying our very best to get the heat in. They've got little differences on it as to whatever. But I pressed the issue on it and I found out that they do have everything intact and everything in line, so shouldn't be any problem to get it in, but naturally Satan will hinder just as long as he can. Paul said, I would have come unto you, but Satan hindered me. So naturally he's going to do that. Well, let's sing a little chorus together.
Let us enter these gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Enter into these courts with praise. Let us say this is the day the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus. Can you sing that with me? So we've entered into the gates with thanksgiving down the heart. Entered into the courts with his praise. And we sing, this is the day the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made us. Sing it with me. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me. One more time together. Let us enter into the gates with thanksgiving in the heart. Enter into his courts with praise. Let us say this is the day the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made us. Jesus made us glad. Jesus made us glad. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice, Jesus. One more time together. Oh, we've entered into the gate. We've entered into his courts with God's praise. Jesus. Can you give him a hand? Somebody say hallelujah. You can be seated. Talk with you just a little bit. You know, the word of the Lord, the Bible says that the word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. There's nothing that's perfect that can convert the soul except the word of the Lord. You can't study, you can't fast, you can't pray, you can't go to school, you can't get anything that will convert the soul except the word of the Lord. As a matter of fact, scientists say if you're about 25 years old, you're never converted. As to your way of life, that you will always be the same. And I believe that, except for the fact that Christ converts the soul. Christ converts the soul. So the word of the Lord converts the soul. So we come with the word of the Lord because the word of the Lord converts the soul. Unless we be converted, then we can't have eternal life. You know, we use downstairs in the printing room, we use what we call a converter. And we convert the electric from one phase of electricity to another phase. And we bring it to what we call a three phase. And so then this gives us an efficiency as to run our presses. And most of the commercial things out of the world are three phase. So we convert our own here and make it three phase. And God is a converter. He has to convert us to bring us back to our originality. That in bringing us back to our originality, then we find ourselves converted and on the right road home. Until then, we are in a perverted condition by the fall, having failed from the lofty state of the protection of God. Then we find ourselves in a perverted condition. Now, this is what we don't like to acknowledge as people. We don't like to acknowledge the fact that from our birth we're perverted. No one likes to acknowledge that. No one will accept that as a rule, but it is a true fact. You look on the world out there and you see people that are perverted, that are practicing all kind of things that are so wrong. And they're just losing all the morals of life. And you think, well, these perversions, I don't want to be one of these perverts. I don't want to be one of them. But you don't understand that you're born that way. You're born into the world. That's why they try to protect their rights in saying that they can't help it, that they're born that way. They've got a misunderstanding. They're not born that way as to a pervert, as to the way that they go about perversion, but they are born into a state of perversion from the fall, and they are subject to all of those things. Not perverted to the extent that God has made them perverts, but they have chosen that way through their own sovereignty, and they are perverted because of their desire. So then everyone is in a perverted condition. One might be a pervert when it comes to human relationship and as to the passions of the body. Another may be a pervert when it comes to being a money fiend or somebody that is temperamental or somebody that's filled with jealousy or hatred or bitterness or somebody that is a gossiper or a backbiter. One of a million devils has got a hold to them and they are in a perverted condition. So that you see out there as to the world of sex, that is just part of what the perverted world is like. And they're in that particular phase of the perversion. But believe it or not, all people will go to the same hell. All people will go to the same lake of fire. All people will be punished the same way as to the punishment of death because they are perverted unless they become converted and are born again. They might be the polished ethics of life. They might be in the upper echelon. They might be in the legislative side of life. They might be a king. They might be a queen. They might be a president.
They might have PhDs. They might have all kind of diplomacies. They might be a lawyer, a doctor. They might be a preacher. They could be a laity, whatever it might be. But the thing is, they are still perverted, and they still will go into the lake of fire. All flesh has corrupted its way before God, and the sentence of death is in the body, and all of them are alike. And I always bring this to your mind to try to stabilize your mind, to put you in a certain place to where the gospel can reach you. There is under your tongue the poison of asp. There is within your tongue deceit. Your eyes are filled with adultery, and destruction and misery is before you, and the way of peace and the path of peace you've never known. Your feet are swift to shed blood. All of your labor is for your own belly and mouth, because your belly craves it of you, and you're on your belly for all the days of your life. This is your first birth, and you're called a serpent or a worm. You're called a generation of vipers. And unless you go through a conversion as to what we refer to as the stages of the metamorphosis and a symbolic thing, like the butterfly coming out of the cocoon as to the worm, then that means that you are still in that perverted form of the worm, and you go to a hole and to darkness. But if you go through what we call the metamorphosis of Calvary, the rending of the veil, the opening of the cocoon to release the inner potentiality of godliness and life that comes into you through conversion and new birth, that rends that outer shell of your intellectual being, that is old wretched man that you are as to the outer man, to rend that outer man and come out of there as a spiritual being, born of the Spirit, changed to a quickening spirit, leaving the intellectual of the flesh. They that are in the flesh cannot please God, because it is the worm and it is the cocoon. So then, unless you can come out of the flesh and be in another world, as another person, in another mind, then you're still perverted, and that means that you've corrupted your way, and you all go into the same path, down the same trail, to the same eternal devastation and death. So then I say this to you, you know, by remembrance, though you already know these things, Peter said, as long as I'm abiding in this tabernacle, I feel that I should stir up your pure mind, which is the mind of Christ, to make it rise above your intellectual reasoning. And even though we have desire to teach you, Jesus, a teacher sent from God, we have a desire to teach you and tutor you in all these things, yet time doesn't permit us to do that because of routines of life and because of natures of human beings and because of their busy schedules of life. Though they do not have time to take time to be holy, as to just spare the time, yet they must take time because God said take time. You know, I'll never have time to be holy. Down in Egypt, Pharaoh always had more brick to be made, more work to do. Out in the world, there's always something else to do to make more money. Pressed with necessity, got to pay the IRS, pay the light bill, got to pay the rent, got to pay on the car, got to have more money, more security, get ready for winter. But the Bible said in the midst of all of that, lay it aside and take time to be holy. And then when you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all of these other things will be added unto you. We're exhorted by the book of Timothy in 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, the 1st and 2nd verse. We find that we're exhorted to be strong in the grace of God. Therefore, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus, and in the things that I've taught you, which commit unto men that are able to teach others the same. So here he tells us that we should be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. Strong in the grace. I cannot be strong in my own strength. I cannot cope with the situation in my own strength. I am inferior to Satan by birth. I'm born inferior. I wasn't created inferior. But because of the fall, I became inferior through the fall. And man is no match for Lucifer. Lucifer is a fallen angel. And the Bible teaches man is made a little lower than the angels. He does not have the strength to prevail against an angel. Only if he can find Christ and be filled with the angel of Christ, which is the spirit of what we call the Holy Spirit or the ghost, which is holy. Christ coming in ghostly form. If we can be filled with this ghostly form of Christ, then we have power over Lucifer, and he cannot come into our house and spoil our goods, nor bind our life and our spirit to enslave us to the tribute of men or to the human senses as a bond child, making us to be dependent upon our human senses or putting us upon the belly. So then our labor comes then to be for God, and we labor that we might have to give rather than labor for our belly. We look on the things of another, we seek the things of another, and we esteem others better than ourselves, and we seek to serve others rather than subject others to service to us. So we get a new outlook altogether. Now, we are strong, but we are strong in His grace. What does that mean? What does that mean that I am strong in His grace? It means that though I am faulty, though I stumble, though I stagger because of the outer man and his resistance, his continual harassment, the doubtful mind that's always plaguing me, it causes me to stagger and stumble and to be faulty in the sight of God. But God says, be strong in my grace. That is, I've taken care of all of this. I've killed the body. I've devastated it at Calvary. I've completely done away with the body of death. I have freed you from this through the metamorphosis from that cocoon. And I've taken you out of that. I have baptized you into the death of Christ Jesus. I've actually baptized you into the death. You know, this is a hard thing to get a hold of. We say words, and we say words so often until somebody says, well, I can quote that. I know what that says. I've been baptized into his death. Let's go on to the next thing. But see, we never know what was said. We never know what it meant. We never understand it at all. When it says we were baptized into his death, it means that we are dead. We are baptized for the dead. The Bible said we are baptized for the dead. That's why we're baptized. A lot of people that are baptized don't even know why they're baptized. They just say, well, I'm baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus because that makes me a Christian, or now I know that I'm a Christian. That has nothing to do with it. You are baptized for the dead, and as many as has been baptized into Christ's death has put on Christ, which means that when you're baptized into his death, then are you dead? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I know that we're baptized into his death, and I know we're supposed to make believe that we're dead. Folks, this is no make believe. You know, we make believe all through our life, and everything's fiction. We watch so much of Hollywood and television and read so much of sports and always hear so much fantasism in the world that everything is make-believe, nothing is real anymore. And that's why little ones are killing people and doing all kinds of things. They got that in their minds, you know, it's not really real. It's just something they're doing in their games. Like the little boy a few days ago that went into the Washiterra, wasn't it, or wherever it was at, 14 years old, to join a certain gang. He had to kill somebody, so he kills a mother that's carrying a child. The child and the mother died. See, a game with him. His little old 14-year-old mind didn't know no better. And what we've got to do is come to a reality. This world is a fantasy. It is a fantasy. We can't get a hold of that. We think, oh no, Brother Pike, this world is not a fantasy. When I eat and I drink and I feel and my passions and my enjoyment and my laugh and my talk and my car and my house and my body and all this is real, but it's not real. It is a fantasy. You know, I've said this a number of times, and of course people, they just kind of look at you kind of in an awesome sort of a way, you know, and they don't understand, so they can't figure it out, and they just feel like, well, you know, he's just beside himself. They said, Paul, you're just beside yourself. He said, if I am beside myself, it's for Christ. And they said, well, you're just a fool. He said, well, if I'm a fool for Christ.
They said, well, much learning has made thee mad, Paul. See, but the thing is, if Jesus could actually walk through the wall, how did he do that? Someone would say, well, he was a spirit. That's what they said. They said, he is a spirit. He said, no, not a spirit. Fill of me. A spirit don't have flesh and bones like you see me have. How did he walk through the wall? He was flesh. He was bones. But bone and flesh passed through the wall. Now that I'm bone and flesh, you're bone and flesh, why is it we can't pass through the wall? Someone says, well, it's for sure that we can't. Scientists can prove to you can't do it. Scientists don't have any understanding. That's what it is. Knowledge, falsely so-called, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is to say, that's all they do is study in college, study in school. They're always studying the DNA. They're always studying everything, elements, geologically. They're studying human physics. They're studying the energies. They're studying everything. And he never come to any kind of understanding. Like a fellow talked to me over the telephone the other day for perhaps more than 2 hours. He has been studying for so many years. He knows so many things, and he knowed everything from A to Z. And he went through that of all the happenings, the current happening, the papers, the TV, everything else. And then the Bible and do the Greek and to the Hebrew and on and on and on. And I just listened and I listened and I listened. And he had it all together, and he told me how he understood right on through Revelation and whatever. And I just listened and listened, and I thought, now what you going to do? You're going to keep on till after a while. You're going to get tangled up like a little kitten with a ball of yarn, and then you're going to look for a way out. And he did. He got all balled up, and after a while he said, but I would like to know about this. And then I started on that, and he said, well, I need to know about this and this. And then after a while he had a string of things, at this and this and this and this. And all of those things that he thought he knew, he didn't understand it all. Not at all. And we had to go through the Bible and put all these things together by the mind of Christ and get him straightened out. And he was as happy as a lark and said he wanted to call again so we could have some more conversation. He said, I really learned some things. See, and this is the way it is in the world. People really don't know. They really don't understand. People are ever learning and they never know the truth. You can't go and tell them. Because they're so learned in their mind, they know the Bible, they know the Hebrew, the Greek, they know the geological studies of life, they know everything and don't know nothing. Somebody says, well, how do you come up with a summary like that? Because everything that they're doing is in the flesh. And the Bible said the flesh profiteth nothing. So then they don't know nothing. But they that are in Christ Jesus have an unction from the Holy One that they should know all things, not only the geological aspect of life and the world of human physics and the world of energy, but they know all about everything. They know about the eternities. They know about what was in the past and what's in the future. I think about science a lot of times. They're talking about how that they can put a man back into the past. They go through this little old childish gesture of theirs. How can we put him back into the past? It's one of the most ignorant things that I have ever heard in my life. Going to put a man back in the past. You know, or we'll project him out into the future. Isn't that stupidity? Somebody tell me, isn't that stupidity? Somebody said, well, I don't know about that. Well, I'm talking about them people that do know. Some of you that know all things, isn't that stupidity? Putting a man back in the past, projecting him into the future. In the first place, there is no past and there is no future. So how are you going to put him back into something that's not there? Or project him into something that's not there? Somebody said, well, can you prove, Brother Pike, there's no past and no future? What do you have to prove? The word past is only an intellectual expression. The word future is only an intellectual expression. That's something that you thought of. Is that right? So then that means there is no such. There is no yesterday with God. There is no tomorrow with God. God is forever. He was, he is, and forever shall be. Somebody said, well, that don't have to do with us. It does with us that was before the world ever was. Father, restore unto me the joys I had with thee before the world ever was, before our time ever came to be. When he said, ye're not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. Folks, if I'm of this world, then that means I perish with the world. That means I don't know no more than the world knows. It means I am in the confines of the world, and whatever the intellectual confines of this world is, I am imprisoned to that. And what the world is that which is the intellectual. It is a confinement of reasoning. It is a mind. It is a spirit. It is Lucifer. It is a vanity. It's all vanity, and whoever is caught within the web of that is part of it. They're motivated by it. They're controlled by it. But I am not in that. I've converted from that. Though I fell into that through the fall of the weakness of Adam, I escaped that through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I come out of that web and I come out of that cocoon. And now I am like the butterfly as to the metamorphosis. I am buoyant. I am a heavenly creature. There is no bonds in my death. There is no boundaries because death hath no power over me. I do not have to fear going to hell because the gates of hell cannot prevail against me. I walk through the bellies and chambers of hell as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I walk through the walls of death as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ascended and went up on high and sat at the right hand of the Father through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he is, so am I in him. Forever young and strong and powerful and rich and full of all understanding to live eternally and to rule with a rod of iron. To say what I will, to think what I will, to ask what I will, to decree in my heart whatever I will. Why? Because he hath made us gods. He hath made us one with himself. That we are all things, and all things are ours, and we own all things, and hell is our property, and death is our property. And we have power over death, not death over us. And we have power over hell, and not hell over us. And we have power over the grave, and not the grave over us. You understand what I'm saying? So then, what are we saying? What are we saying? I'm saying that we are a different people. I keep getting, anyway, get a little echo back here somewhere. Keep wondering about it. But it is a true fact. It is a true fact that we are different. We are different. Somebody would say, well, how can we be different, Brother Pye? Because there is a difference. And the glory of the stars, every star different than glory. There is a difference as to the glory of a woman and the glory of a man and the glory of a child. There is a difference between the flesh of the earth as to the flesh of the bird and the flesh of the animal as to the human being. There is a difference in these flesh. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. There is a terrestrial body. There is a celestial body. Having borne the image of the corruptible, we then bear the image of the incorruptible. We are not as of to the terrestrial, but in the finished product we are of the celestial. And we're not of the mortality of earth, but we are of the immortality. So then, mortality being swallowed up by immortality, through the foreknowledge of God, we are a finished product. Not as to that that's in the makings. But we are a finished product. It does not yet appear to you what ye shall be like, nor to one another what we shall look like. But that doesn't cancel it out. That doesn't annul the fact that it's so. See, and when we get right here, of course, we get into a few little things that's kind of deep. And sometimes if we do get into a few deep things, it's kind of hard for people to get a hold of. But the thing is, you know, when you try to condense it and you don't go into detail to put the parts together, people can't get a picture of it, and it sounds foolish. For the Bible said the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. Neither can he know them. He cannot know them because they're spiritually discerned. Now the question arises, why can't he know them? Why can't the natural man know the spiritual things? Because he can't see them. He can't feel them. They're not there. So this is why the Bible said, God who calleth those things that are not as though they are. So then, what are we saying? If you can't see it and you can't hear it and you can't feel it, then good common sense said then it's not there. It's not there. It's just not there. So then that automatically confines them that takes that stand. It automatically confines them to the world of intellectual definition or the scope of Lucifer's mind. See, if I can see it, Thomas said, I'll believe it. I'll believe it. Jesus said, well, here's the nail prints. Thrust your hand in my side. But Thomas, blessed is he that hath not seen, that can believe. Now, what is the difference? Why does he say that to Thomas? Thomas, blessed is he that hath not seen, that can believe. Now, you see, and that's a great thing, and now you believe. But blessed is he that cannot see and yet believe. What is the difference? The difference is to be able to believe in that you cannot see means that you've got the faith of Christ and that you believe in the supernatural, and that is a faith that excels the human intellectual reasoning of human believing and conviction, and it means you are eternal. And if you don't have that to where you can believe that way, it means you just didn't make it, folks. You just didn't make it. If just believing in what you can see and what you can feel and what you can know, then you don't have it. But now, with me, it has to be like this. I must call those things that are not as though they are. Somebody says, but it's not there. To you, it's not there. But to me, it's there. It's like a person that's lost their mind or they're insane. As far as they're concerned, they see it. You may not see it, but they see it. A person that's having strong delusion or hallucinating or people that are on dope, they see all these things. The others don't see it, but they see it. That's the world to them. They want to take more dope. They want to go back into that world because that's a great adventure to them. They're adventuring out. See, and the others don't get to see all these exciting things that they see. Now, this is the way it is with Christians. That's only symbolic. In our day, it is symbolic. Everything has to be natural in the earth to show what's in heaven, in the spiritual world. So all this has to come to pass with the youth to show it's the last days. And that now the spiritual children of God are at last going out. We call hallucinating. They're going out into the spirit. They're going to and fro. They're taking trips, as the world says. Great, beautiful things are happening to them. And the others, they just sit there and kind of scratch their head and they can't figure out what's wrong with them. So then that means calling those things that are not as though they are simply because the Word of God said it, I believe it, that's the way it is. And nobody's going to convince me different from that. So somebody says, Paul, you're just crazy. That's all that's wrong with you. You're crazy. You lost your mind. So Paul said, well, I don't think it should be considered incredible that God should raise the dead. Why should that be thought incredible? After all, he's God. What's incredible about God raising the dead? Isn't that just another day's activity to God to raise the dead? And you know, when you go so far down the trail, even to the place I've been, as to the privileges of seeing and understanding, you suddenly realize that raising the dead is absolutely nothing. See, somebody said, well, how do you get that? They say, well, it's just an impossibility. No, it's not an impossibility. If it's an impossibility, how did Peter do it? If it's an impossibility, how did Elijah do it? If it's an impossibility, how did Jesus do it? They were all men. And if it's an impossibility to walk on the water, how did Peter walk on the water? If it's an impossibility to walk through the wall, how did Jesus walk through the wall? If it's an impossible for a man to fly without wings, how did Ezekiel soar through the air? See, it's not impossible. It is only impossible to them that cannot believe. But the Bible says all things are possible to them that can believe. There is no impossibility to them that believe. So then, why should we think it incredible that we have passed from death unto life? and that we now have eternal life and cannot die. Why should we think it incredible that now God has taken away our sins and we can never again sin? Why should we think it incredible that God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, and loosed them that was appointed unto death, and in a day accepted, succored them? Why should we think it incredible that now immortality has been brought to light and we can be immortal and never perish and never corrupt in our bodies? Why should that be thought? Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, you know you eccentric. There ain't no such thing. That could never be. But I tell you in the name of the Lord, it is. It is. Somebody said, well, going to be. Oh, no, it is. It is. See, this is where we make a mistake. With us, something has got to be. You know, something great is going to happen, Brother Pike. And an evangelist, he comes along and he gets exuberant and he dances a little bit and he hollers a little bit and he catches attention a little bit and he does his thing and he tells you that it's coming, folks, it's coming. A great, mighty thing is coming. Somebody's coming on the scene. This great, mighty thing is going to happen. It's coming. But see, that's wrong. It's already here. See, it has always been here. The thing is, it has not come to our day so that it will come. That's not what it come for. It has come to our day that it might be made known that it always was. And our believing will bring it to be. Because we are those as to the promised seed. So as to the time of the promise drawing near, now that the seed has come, then the promise is to the seed. And now that the seed has come, then that means they which can believe in the supernatural will bring the supernatural world present. They that will believe will automatically change the body, change the environment, change the surrounding, because this world over here has passed away. Peter said with water. This other world has passed away. As it said, upon you have come the ends of the world, as to the blood rim. And now this last world of what's referred to as energy, or really it's religion or spirit. This world is present now. And there's a generation for this world as there was the first world. There is one for the second world. There is one for the third world. There was a mind for the first world. There was a mind for the second world. Now there's a mind for the third world. And those that occupy, those that will be the preeminent ones, those that control, are now here. See, and those that have climbed up into the upper lintel, the worm, Jacob, thy worm, the flesh, they that through intellect has climbed up into the Einstein theories and up here in these things that they don't have any business in at all, having climbed up there, Lucifer, through the human body, having climbed up into these realms of the great mind, had no business to go up there to start with, because those are heavenly places. And having climbed up into that, God's going to take those PhDs and DDs and all these diplomacies of the devil that's pushed them into these places to try to make void the teachings of God and try to make themselves God through their intellect and through their progging with pills and everything else. God's going to take those diplomacies and burn those things along with them in the fire. So then, this is where the children of God belong. They're the ones with the answers. They're the ones that have all the answers, not part of the answers. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, don't they have problems? Of course they have problems, because the body has not yet been changed. Job said, I'll wait for my change. The body has not yet been changed. Somebody said, well, there's the hang up right there. There's my hang up. The body has not been changed. There you are right there. But see, that's your hang up, not my hang up. That's not the children of God's hang up, because the whole purpose of this understanding and this message is for them to change the body. The body's not a hang up to them. They are going to take the body and hang it up at Calvary. And they're going to take that body and rend the veil, and they're going to change that body. And every element of that body is going to become glorified and changed to another stage of life altogether. So then, if I got into this morning, it would take me about 15 hours. to talk about a few of these things this morning. Somebody says, would it really, Brother Pike? Oh, yes, just for me to run through it, just in my mind, to talk with God, it takes hours just for me and him to have a talk over. So that means that with these few scattered remarks as to captivate your mind, to cause you to be curious or to stir you up, your pure mind, to make you start searching. I say these things that they might go on tape and they might go around the world. People are asking for this literature everywhere. It's causing a great stir. Like I said the other day, 40,000 of these were just printed over in Romania, and it's really stirred the people. And then yesterday there was a connection made where there's somebody that's asking for 500,000 tracts in Romania with 500 people ready to start distributing. And then there's another fellow we got a letter from that he had wrote one letter, said, let this do once and for all, where I won't have to even bother about writing again to get it. I need this many tracts and this many books and this many tracts and this many books, and I need them periodically, just continually. And on and on and on. And around the world, this is causing a stir. People are being stirred by this around the world. Somebody said, well, to me, Brother Pike, it's just no more than another message. I come here all the time. Yeah, I know that, and I understand that, no hard feeling. But to them that are elect and them that are achunda, it's more than another message. They're getting something, and they're stirred to the core of their soul. They can't hardly contain themselves. So then they're digging in the minds of God. Now, so then there is another mind. This mind is the mind of Christ. And there's some that is obsessed with this mind. There's some that's taken with this mind. There's some under the control and auspices of this mind. And these are sons and daughters of God. These are eternal creatures. And these do have power. And the power is over all things. I say this again just by way of thought. Mind over matter to the world as to the Einsteins and the theologians and all of the studies of the indoctrinations of their foolish little diplomacies. All these kind of things of being brainy and heady, of trying to think themselves to be something, making themselves God and putting God out of the arrangement. See, these people being caught in the web of Satan, the mind of Satan, they are nothing. They are a mere beast and will go under a computerized number of a thing of electronics and be controlled by some superior mind of Lucifer. But we are under the mind of God, and though they believe in mind over matter, and they keep working with the forms of matter to break it down and break it down and come right on down to the elements and to the enzymes of the body and right on down to the atomic particles, breaking down the molecule structure right on down to the electron, the protons and the neutrons, and right on down to the little packets of lights, or that is to say, the very betas and sparks. But when they get through, they've discovered nothing. They're like children working with little blocks. And this mind over matter thing that they've got is Satan's mind, trying to figure out matter and control matter, even the forms of your body as to the human structure, the world of human physics. And they're trying to put it together in their little booklets and put it together as to get themselves a diplomacy as being a specialist in certain fields. And in doing that, making themselves God, sitting in the body of God, showing themselves that they are God. And the Bible said the end should not come lest God expose those that are sitting in the body as God. That is the devils and the demons and Lucifer. For the man of perdition must be revealed. First a great falling away, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. As to the love of spiritual things and the exuberance of intelligence shall be an all-time high, and turn into sodomites and fornicators and liars and into animals and prey off of one another as cons and leeches. See, but then as the end comes, God the great light, which is the spiritual mind of Christ, shall break forth and destroy that inner man, which is Lucifer, with the brightness of his coming. And this word of understanding, which is light, will cause his thoughts, his mind, to dissolve into nothing. and he'll see that he ain't nothing. It will show his thoughts. It's supposed to be so great and so mighty and so far out to be absolutely childish. It will be so far advanced above all of his great super intelligence of the professors, all of the discoverers and their DNA and all of these things, until it would be like a little child, like a dog chasing his tail round and around, not knowing what to do. Somebody says, Brother Pine, you talk of that too lightly. I don't believe that. I know, but I must tell you this while I tell the believers this. So as I tell the believers, I know that you're not going to believe it. But to the believers, remember this. It is absolutely a profound fact. No exaggeration. That's the way it is. And to the believers, you know all things. Them people don't know nothing. They don't know nothing. They profited nothing with all of their efforts. And they're the garbage that must be burned. Somebody would say, Brother Pine, how can you say that? I said, they are the garbage that must be burned. Come on, wake up, folks. They're the garbage. The dump man will haul them off. Satan is the garbage man. He's hauling them off to the dump to burn them in the fire. All of that is garbage. Every bit of that is garbage. It's rejection of God. The carnal mind's enmity with God. They're intellectually puffed up by their vain deceit. Knowledge puffeth up. And all that's rejected, God's rejected that's knowledge falsely so called. All of it is rejected. God will burn them. All flesh has corrupted its way before God. And like Martin Luther said, the institutions have become the gates to hell. So then, that's garbage. But now comes the mind of light. And the mind of light will overpower those things. Those are people of darkness. All those intellectual diplomacies, all those people that are out there that's arrayed in the glitter, drinking their wine and bubbling in their beer and riding in their fine automobiles and fine clothing and money and the vain jingles of the world, even preachers, even all those professing preaching in this kind of religious sort of thing, it is nothing at all in the sight of God. It's nothing but darkness. Even though there's preachers and there's churches and there's great revivals and all these things, because the rain is poured out on the unjust and the terror, and because Joel said the last days would bring this great water down upon them, and they're doing all kind of things with their great crusades and all these kind of things on television, whatever, they're nothing but a bunch of kids playing. And the rain is just pouring down. And things is happening, and beautiful things, even people getting healed, all these kind of things. And many of them are of the devil transforming their mind to the ministers of light. See, and revival goes on to the extent that God keeps calling the elect out like with a little startina to get their minds to bring them over to sonship. But folks, you take my word for it. It's absolutely the way that I'm saying. Everything that is in that realm is darkness. It is darkness, and God hath rejected it. He hath rejected their image. He hates their image. He hates their mind. He hates all of their tutoring and all of their teaching. And they have taken the good things of God and the good things of life and all that is given you, even as to the world of academics, and they've got it all misconstrued and balled up within the filth of the flesh and within their intellectual corruption until God has rejected the whole thing. Boy, this don't set well, does it? Folks don't like this kind of preaching, do they? They say, my God, what kind of preacher are you? Well, I might be original. Who knows? You might find this everywhere. You might go, listen, it preaches. They might preach it everywhere. But then it might be original. But whatever it is, it's the truth. And not only that, but heaven and earth is going to pass away. It's going to pass away. Somebody said, well, it may pass away. Oh, no. It's going to pass away. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. I just dropped this in by way of thought here because I know that we can't really get into nothing much. Never can up here. But anyway, this is something for you to think on. Remember, when God came forth, he came forth as the Word. Isn't that right? In the beginning was the Word. Before the Word, what was God? What was God? See, the Word in the beginning, it was the Word. And the Word spoke the world into existence. Thus the world has become existent. The Word spoke the thing into existence. So we have existence. But what we have to remember is that God is non-existent. Back to our original thought. Calling those things that are not as though they are. So God is non-existent, but we're existent. So everything becomes existent. And God has thus made existence. But there has to come a day when existence will be no more. But before that day comes, God has to make himself existent. And as he makes himself existence, then he has to captivate existence and take existence into captivity that he might transformate, transfigurate, and completely translate until he hath preserved existence by making it, as to your definition, non-existent, that it might be taken to its originality, and yet not in its originality as before God became existent, but as to the originality of that which was non-existent to be interwoven with existence, that it might become one and the same as a divine thing of life, a divine life and a divine keepsake of God, or this thing which is a divine preservative forever, which would take a lot of time to go into and explain if we got into the spiritual perspectives of it, of calling those things that are not as though they are, and as to bring it to the perspective of where God said, come and let us. Come and let us. So then, that means if there's a heaven that's going to pass away, and if there's an earth that's going to pass away, if this world came to be by the Word, you can be sure that it's going to pass away by the Word. And then if there's another world to come, John said, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You can be sure that that one that is to come will be made the same way that the first one was, to the extent it will be by the Word. So we just leave these few things with you here that it'd take a lifetime to think on. And that way you can put it all together. Let's stand together. These things that we would like to expound on a lot of times and talk about, but nevertheless, we just have to do what little we can out of the circumstances and all the problems. Satan has seen that there's always a problem in Bethlehem. Always a problem. Because he hates the existence of Bethlehem in this message and me. And as it was with Jesus and the apostles, he went about daily seeking a way to destroy them. And he hates this place. But nevertheless, he did the same thing to Jerusalem and to Bethlehem of old. He's tried to destroy the royal seed and destroy Jerusalem. Again and again, God has rebuilt her walls and they stand until today. So he's going to have his way in it while all the other cities flourished. They've always preyed off of Jerusalem, always pounced on Jerusalem, and they've always done that to little Bethlehem and to the people. They've always tried to divide the minds of the people. Remember this. It's hard for you to get a hold of this, I'm sure, but some do. I have to say it in such terminology, sometimes it's a little difficult to say it, especially in the mixed audience. But it's like a conception in that it starts with the birth of a divine conception. Like, I travail till Christ be formed within you as to the seedling of his glory. And it is like this, flesh frolics to no end, passions frolics. It's a daily thing of an adulterous generation, sinful. But the thing is, there is a conception. It was made that way for multiplying and replenishing the earth. And there is a conception. And no matter what you do, you're in the feminine gender, you're going to conceive in that heart. And whether Brother Pike talks or somebody else talks, or whether it is as to a minister that comes forth, as this would come forth from the sacred desk as I preach the word, as to a conception or one that would be sterile, nothing but just charismaticism to jump and holler and make you feel good and stimulate you with no conception whatsoever, as to no travail, as to no birth, as to no reward. Whatever it might be, that is one of two things happening. And the thing is, there is a conception, and when the wound is closed, it's closed. Though you may go to church 100,000 times, though you may hear 100,000 preachers, somewhere along the line, somebody touched base with you, and there was a conception and a sealing in. And when it was sealed in, though you go through all the motions and everything, out of all the other things that you do, it will bring forth only the fruit of the womb according to that which was, as to the conception, as to seed. And whether it be of darkness, so shall the seed be at birth. Or whether it be of light, so shall the seed be at birth. Whatever it is, it will come forth exactly accordingly. There won't be any difference. See, and I've exhorted you over and over to try to be virtuous. God is looking for a virgin, 5 foolish and 5 wise, to be virtuous and to stay away from sounds and to stay away from words and to stay away from reasoning and to stay away from thoughts. And stay away from the world and all of its vain jingling and all the soothing, feeling and touching and wooings of men's voices and their presence and women's voices and their presence and their soothing, bewitching ways, whether religious or whatever. And stay with the Word as a virgin to the Word. I've asked you to do that. I've tried to get you to do that. And there is some that have done it, like Mary. They've kept themselves, but very few, out of the entire world, there's very few. So there's been a conception of divinity, and it will show forth as to the opening of the Libyas, or in the beast world called the Matrix, it will come forth, and we're right on the verge of that right now, right on the verge. So we're going to sing this little chorus. I have many things to say to you. The Bible said we're slow of heart to believe and dull of hearing as a people. Though the Spirit of God hath many things to say to us. You have already gone your way. Many of you are following after those things that thrilled your heart as to movie stars. Had a discussion on this the other night. Movie stars, because it's a television star, and because it's fabulous, and because its strength and its handsomeness or its beauty of a woman, or it's some kind of frivolousness as to the human frame, you've gone after it head over heels because you're in the flesh and you've already conceived. And that's what you belong to. You're here with me, but you don't belong to this. You've already conceived, and that's your idol. That's your desire. That's what you're working toward. That's what you're coming to be. That's the end of you. That's what your maturity will be. That's the nature that you have taken on. And an image conforms to a nature. And you've taken on the nature of the world or the nature of Lucifer from these things, whether religiously or otherwise, rather than the nature of the Word. So your hunger is not for the Word. Your hunger is not for the things of God. Your hunger is for the vanity and the vexation of those things that vex the spirit, which is the natural, tangible sources of matter and the religious fervency of that which is in the world, which some is called vomit on his table as to a lukewarm thing. To dress like you want to deck out like you want to be what you want to, and yet to be very religious. And go about talking about religious things. Better that you'd have been cold than lukewarm. He said, "Your vomit, I spewed you out of my mouth." So then, many of you are caught in that. And that's your idol. That's your desire. That's your world of fanaticism. That's what you're molding yourself to be. And your thrill is what they do. That thrills you because that's your nature. And it's because you never was born again. Water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. Someone said, well, I don't believe that. But I always remind you, I'm talking to the children of light that do believe that. You're just here to hear. You're not expected to believe. God hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he could destroy him. He hardened his heart so he could not believe. This is not something that you do. It's something that he's already done. It's not something that we work ourselves unto. It's those that were foreordained unto eternal life and that are elect according to what he foreknew before the world ever was when he said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. This is his works. What must we do to work the works of God? He's the works. The altars are open, and you can come when you want to. So then be strong in his grace. His grace. Though I be faulty and stumble, yet his grace is sufficient. My faith is established in the grace of his word and of his works. That sounds like home to me. That's where I long to be. Where the tears will never fill my eyes again. The hills will echo with the story of his grace and of his glory, where the saints of God shall be. That sounds like home to me. Sing that with me. That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. Where the tears shall never fill my eyes again. The hills will echo the story of his love and of his glory, where the saints of God shall be. That sounds like home. Can you sing it one more time? It sounds like home to me, like where I long to be, where the tears shall never fill my eyes again. For the hills for the story of his love and of his glory, where the saints of God shall be. That sounds like home to me. One more time. Like where I long to be, for the tears will never fill my eyes again. The hills will echo with the story of this love and of his glory, where the saints of God shall be. That sounds like home to me. Sounds like home to me. Let's sing this little chorus together.
While we sing a chorus or two, let's just worship the Lord.
When I stand upon the mountain, looking over into God's city, fills me faith that I can make it after all.
Sing that with me now.
After all, life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and to stand upon the mountain, oh, so cold, looking over into the city. Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it.
Sing it more time, can you?
After all life is over and my burdens are lifted, upon the mountain, looking far into the city, Lord, he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. Across the bridge, there'll be no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there'll be no more pain. And I'll never be unhappy again.
Can you sing there with me?
Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine out across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again.
Sing it with me now.
In this life we're living in, I have lived a life of sin. I've done, committed the things I shouldn't do. I met a stranger along the way, all the place to stay where there is real happiness and love is true. Set across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there's pain, for the sun's gonna shine out across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. Can you sing it one more time? Set across the bridge, there's no sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more pain. But the sun's gonna shine out across the river, and we'll never be unhappy.
Let's just lift our hands up. Worship the Lord. The Bible says, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Faith by the hearing of the word. I'm not here to try to force you to believe what I'm saying, nor to do what I'm saying, but I'm here to offer you the opportunity to serve the Lord and to become a Christian. If you do not accept my offer, I am here to tell you there's nothing but heartaches and sorrow left for you, and the devastations of life, and that the end of it all is chaos in a lake of fire. I am here to tell you that. But I do offer you the opportunity and the way of escape so that you can have this wonderful thing that we call God. And it's such an exciting thing, because if you ever come into this wonderful mind of Christ, it is a continual feast, and you're ever going so wonderful. All these people going to school, college, and these kind of things that you seem to have been robbed of and wish that you could be in, which is only lasciviousness and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and corruption, and death, and a stench in the end of cancer, and all the diseases there. You have the opportunity to be in the real group of people, of the colleague of righteousness. Or you are they that are in school, in the school of God as to the school of the prophets. And you are learning these wonderful things, and you're changing from glory to glory. And you really have the joy and jubilance of your own campus, of your own way of life, of your own learnings, to ever study and get deeper and greater in these wonderful things. If you was as diligent in your studies and concern and research as they are as bookworms, then it would be so great, because you're not a worm, but you relate to the butterfly. And if you could be as diligent as the bookworms are, how wonderful it would be. How wonderful it would be. The worm is on his belly. You're not on your belly. You are a heavenly creature. So while you've got your eyes closed and your hands lifted up to heaven, let's just think on this. Search our hearts. The heart man believeth unto righteousness. Confession is made unto salvation with the lips. For what a man speaketh cometh from his heart. And just ask yourself, am I in the faith of the word? What is my conviction of believing? Am I in the faith of the word? It's more blessed to believe and not see than it is to see and then believe. Because we believe to see. The blessing is then in not seeing and yet believing. Because the word has said so. So we believe it. Examine yourself and see if you be in the faith of the word. Only one faith that comes by the word. So while we lift our hands up and close our eyes, let's sing this little chorus together. I will praise Him. I praise Him? Will you praise Him? Can you praise Him? Do you praise Him? Do you enter into the gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise? Do you praise Him? Do you make melody in your heart? Do you think on those things that are virtuous? Are your thoughts in Christ? Do you meditate in His laws day and night? Are you looking unto God to give you strength and to give you power so that you can be the lovely children of God, to live eternally and be alive forever, and to do the perfect will of the Heavenly Father? Are you doing that? Let's lift our hands up, close our eyes, sing it together. I want to praise Him. As you sing, you're dismissed.